I read a fascinating article this week about the Dead Sea Scrolls. I wonder if you're familiar with the Dead Sea Scrolls, maybe the most important archaeological discovery of the 20th century. Back in 1947, a shepherd boy was playing down by the Dead Sea. Not really playing, he was looking for a goat that had wandered off. And as he walked around the hills and the caves there, he threw a rock into a cave and he heard what sounded like breaking pottery. So he went to explore, and he found that he had indeed broken a clay pot, and inside was an old scroll. In fact, there were a number of clay pots with scrolls inside in that cave, and what it turned out to be was an ancient Jewish library that had been stored there. In that cave and a number of the surrounding caves were portions of every book in the Old Testament except the book of Esther. But there were fragments, at least, of all the different books. The book of Isaiah, which contains numerous prophecies about the coming of Jesus, was found in its entirety there in the Dead Sea Scrolls. So what's the big deal about that? Well, to put it all in perspective, before the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, the oldest manuscripts that we had were from 1000 AD. The Dead Sea Scrolls dated back to 250 BC, more than 1,200 years earlier. And so those scrolls proved that the Old Testament and all the prophecies about Jesus were actually written long before Jesus walked the earth. And so it was an amazing discovery. Now, what I really didn't understand is that besides the books of the Old Testament that were found there in the Dead Sea Scrolls, there were lots of other books as well. There were books about Jewish history. There were books about hymns and prayers. There were commentaries, which were like study books of the different books from the Old Testament. So what the Dead Sea Scrolls did is it showed the integrity of the scriptures that we have today. It showed that hundreds and hundreds of years ago, what was written down is the same as what we have now. Now, I wanted to share that with you because I thought it was fascinating. The articles were just really, really interesting. But I read one thing in particular in that article that really stuck out to me, and I felt like spoke to what we're talking about today. There was an ancient commentary that was discovered. It was a study book about the Old Testament book of Nahum, and the author talks about the adversaries of Israel at that time, and he calls them seekers of smooth things. The seekers of smooth things. He's critiquing his enemies, and he says, these guys didn't take the high road. They didn't take the hard road. They wanted the easy way out. They were seekers of smooth things. And that put them in opposition to God. Can I be really honest with you and tell you that I think God's ways are not always smooth? That we are not called to be seekers of smooth things. That we're not looking for the path of least resistance. That sometimes we find and seek the hard way. Sometimes we find the more challenging way because it's the right way. That's what we pursue. And you know who that reminds me of? It reminds me of the Apostle Paul. We've pointed out each week during this series how surprising Paul's prayers tend to be. Paul is writing to in the book of Ephesians here. He's under house arrest. He is chained night and day to a Roman soldier. Now, it's not as bad as it's going to get. When he's writing the book of 2 Timothy, the last book that he wrote, he's in a dungeon in Rome. But still, it's pretty bad, especially for a guy who's devoted his life to traveling all over the known world, preaching and planting churches and sharing the gospel. Paul is not a sit-at-home kind of guy. But what does Paul pray for in Ephesians? What is he writing to the people of Ephesus to pray about? 2 weeks ago, we said that he prayed for wisdom. Last week, we talked about power, and Josh Bunch did a great job of sharing a message about the power of love from God and how that shines in us and through us. Well, today, Paul prays for impact, for influence, for change. Listen to what he says here in Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 18. He says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. We've said each week, Paul did not ask the Ephesians to pray that he would be released from his chains. He doesn't ask them to pray that he's going to be able to retire in a villa by the Mediterranean. He doesn't ask them to pray that the Roman soldier he is chained to would finally take a shower. What he does is he says, God, give me the right words to say. Pray that I will make known the mystery of the gospel and that I will declare this message fearlessly as I should. Paul did not pray for comfort. He prayed for impact. He didn't pray for health. He prayed for boldness. I suggested to you a couple of weeks ago that maybe our prayers sometimes feel weak and ineffective because, frankly, we're not praying for anything that requires God's help. We're not going after or attempting anything that's big enough for him to need to be involved. Here, I think Paul is leading by example, and he's showing us how important it is to pray that we could have impact in the world, that we could make a difference. And it makes me wonder, do you regularly pray to have impact? Do I pray that? Are we regularly praying that we could make a difference? Or maybe the question is, are you regularly praying at all? A survey was done last year by the Pew Research Center. They conduct surveys about faith and about things related to biblical values, and they found in their surveys of thousands of people that 29% of Americans now consider themselves non-religious, atheists, agnostics, or none. When asked about their religious identity, their answer was none. Nearly 3 out of 10 Americans have no faith whatsoever. Now, what's really troubling is that that percentage has doubled in the last 14 years. And that certainly seems to be a pattern that's growing. When they asked questions about prayer, here's what they found. 45% of Americans, less than half, pray daily. 1/3 of Americans say they don't pray at all or very, very seldom. It's unclear whether people stop praying and that's why they lost their faith, or if they lost their faith and that's why they stopped praying, but obviously those two things are linked closely together. But I think there's even a bigger concern. Follow me on this. About 65% of Americans identify as Christian. 90% of Americans say they believe in some kind of a God, and yet less than half of us pray with any kind of regularity at all. It's like we're free to talk to God. He wants us to talk to him. We're invited to talk to him. We just don't do it, at least not very well. In my 37 years of ministry, I don't think anybody has ever said to me, I think my greatest strength is my prayer life. Instead, what I hear is, yeah, that's an area I really need to grow in. That's an area of struggle for me. Yeah, I really have a hard time with that. That's why I think these 21 days of prayer and fasting in Scripture have been important, just to try to, you know, motivate you a little bit, to maybe try to guide you in a specific, focused way to be seeking God's will, God's wisdom, God's guidance, God's purpose for your life. I want to read to you again from Ephesians 6, verses 18 to 20. I'm going to read from a different translation this time. This is the New Living Translation. Listen again to what Paul says about prayer. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so that I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. You know, back in August, I preached a sermon series on Ephesians chapter 6. The series was called The Stand because we talked about our struggle against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And I like to, I've just started this a few years ago, I like to pick a word for the year, and my word for this year is stand. And my verse for this year is Ephesians 6:13. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. And if you were here during that series, you know, we talked about if you're still on your feet, you're still in the fight. You might be beat up or worn down. You might be bruised or bloody or broken. But man, if you're still on your feet, you're still in the fight. So keep standing. Well, on August 29th of last year, during that series, we talked about the same three verses that I'm focusing on today. And I would not normally preach two sermons in 5 months on the same three verses. But when I sat down with a couple of other preachers and we started working on this 21 days of prayer and fasting together, we really were drawn to these three prayers from the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians. Again, the prayer for wisdom, the prayer for power, the prayer for impact. Now, when I preached that message back in August, my main focus was on the Holy Spirit. When Paul says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. To pray in the Spirit could also be translated, pray by the Spirit. That we pray in accordance with the Spirit. We pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. We talked about how the Holy Spirit is our ally in this battle that we're in against the spiritual forces of evil. We don't pray on our own. The Spirit helps us pray. That we invite the Holy Spirit into our prayers. William McGill wrote, "The value of persistent prayer is not that God will hear us, but that we will finally hear God." And I think the Holy Spirit helps us do that. Now, if you want to dig deeper into the subject of the Holy Spirit, I would encourage you to check out August 29th on our YouTube channel or on our podcast. This morning, I want to take a little different type of look at these three verses. I want to look at what Paul prayed for, what he prayed about. The Holy Spirit helps us pray, of course, but Paul is clear here that there are specific things that we should be focusing on as we go before the Father in prayer. Notice he says in verse 18, to pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. On all occasions. I think that means that we ought to be praying when we're happy and we ought to be praying when we're sad. That we ought to be praying when things are going our way and when things are decidedly not going our way. That we pray when our lives are full of joy and we pray when the dark shadows of grief are pressing in from all sides. That we pray whether we're standing in our dream home or in the nursing home or in the funeral home. That we pray on all occasions. And it's not just praying, okay, God, I want you to do this. I want you to fix this. I want you to give me and help me and spare me. He says, I want you to pray all kinds of prayers and requests. Prayers for wisdom and guidance and peace. But also prayers for purpose and for courage and for strength. Prayers for those that we love. And frankly, prayers for those that we don't love. Prayers for those who love us and also for those who don't love us. That we offer prayers of thanksgiving and prayers of praise and prayers of confession. That there are prayers to help us live better and insight to choose better. Prayers of repentance that help us change course and get back on track when we've wandered and strayed away. Prayers that help us appreciate all that lies ahead for us, the promises of heaven, but prayers that also help us appreciate all that's around us right now. We can get so negative sometimes and we miss so many blessings. We offer prayers of praise to God for all that he's done, but also praise to God for just who he is. It's pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. We don't just fall into a rut of gimme, gimme, gimme. In fact, Paul says, I want you to be alert and keep on praying for all the saints. That's us who are followers of Jesus, that we're praying for our fellow believers, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And look, I don't want to wear you out with this. I'm not trying to drive this into the ground. I don't want to split hairs. But I think it's significant that he says, I want you to pray for all the saints. I think that means that we need to be praying for that person at church who hurt your feelings. That you pray for that missionary that can so easily be out of sight, out of mind. That you pray for that leader or that volunteer at church or that preacher who can't seem to get it right. That you pray for that person two rows over right now who annoys the heck out of you. You know, it just means that we're praying for everybody. Be alert. Keep on praying for all the saints, all of them, even the ones you disagree with, even the ones that you're jealous of, even the ones that you would like to invite to attend another church. We pray for all the saints, the Republican saints and the Democrat saints, the EGR saints. That stands for Extra Grace Required, and we all know those kinds of people. The who invited her kind of saints, the what's he doing here kind of saints, the loud and critical and overbearing and underperforming saints. Be alert, keep on praying for all the saints. And then Paul takes a step further, and he does the big ask here in verse 19. He says, would you pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul has no qualms about asking for prayer. He knows the pressure he's under, the pressure that's coming, and so he knows he needs prayer. And friends, can I just be honest with you and say that as a pastor, as a church leader, man, we need your prayers today, maybe now more than ever. Certainly in my lifetime. I read this week, according to the Barna Research Group, that since the pandemic started in 2020, one-third of practicing Christians have disengaged from their church. They just stopped showing up. And due to that mass exodus, since the pandemic started, 4,000 churches in America have closed their doors. Over that same time, this is the one that shocked me, 20,000 pastors in these last couple of years have left the ministry. And when surveys were done of those who were still in ministry, 50% said they would do something else if they could get paid to do something else. They just don't know how to make enough money to live. Our staff right here at this church, pastors around the world, we're asking for prayer because it's just a really hard time to try to do ministry and to try to lead. And I know it's hard for everybody. I'm not saying that we're unusual in that way. I'm just being like Paul and saying, man, we need your prayers, please. But look, Paul prayed some specific things that I think are for all of us to pray. Paul prayed for boldness to share the gospel. And I think we all need to be praying for this. All of us need to be in on this if we're followers of Jesus. It's not an easy thing to do, to share the gospel. You think it's hard to pray when you're not feeling spiritual? Or you think it's hard to pray for people that you don't like, or when you're just having a bad day? You think that it's hard to pray when you're not feeling any joy and maybe your life's a wreck and you think, boy, it's just a stretch to try to pray right now. Well, Paul sets the bar pretty high when what he's going through, he says, pray that I'll have boldness to share the gospel. Sometimes it's easy to share the gospel, but sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes talking about God-type things is popular, but sometimes it's taboo. And you might have an audience of fans, or you might be like Paul in Rome when you are just being persecuted from all sides, but pray for boldness to share the gospel. It's just not that easy to do. I mean, I was kind of thinking about this week. It's not hard to invite somebody to church. Now, you might do it, you might not, but let's just be honest. It's not that hard to do. It's not really incredibly difficult to just say to somebody, hey, I'm praying for you. Now, you might do it, you might not say that, but it's really not that tough to say that to somebody. Just if you say it, make sure that you do pray. You want to maintain some integrity there. But Paul prays for boldness to share the gospel. This goes beyond inviting somebody to church. It goes beyond praying a blessing on somebody. This is about sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus. You know, when I was a kid in Sunday school years ago, we would talk about what it meant to be a good Christian, what good Christians do, and invariably, somebody would say, you tell other people about Jesus. That was the Sunday school answer. You tell other people about Jesus. But what does that even mean? I mean, if you're not a preacher or a Bible teacher, how does that happen? How does that conversation start? It's the old thing of, what if they ask me a question I can't answer? Or what if they know that really I don't live very Christian? Sometimes, whatever that means. What if they start to think, is the only reason you're my friend is because you're trying to get me to go to your church or start believing what you believe? Is this a pyramid scheme? Am I going to be selling Amway next? I mean, really, what's going on here? Why are you hanging around with me? And you start to think, what if Jesus puts a wedge between me and my friend? What does it mean to tell somebody about Jesus? How do you work that into the conversation? Well, there really aren't any hard and fast rules. I'm not sure the old, hey, if you died tonight, where would you go, is necessarily the best start. But what if you said to somebody, you know, I read a really interesting thing in the Bible of all places the other day. And then you just shared something that caught your eye. Or you said, our church has been doing this 21-day challenge thing, and we've been praying together, and I've been praying more than usual, and I have been worrying less than I usually do. Isn't that amazing? And you just have a little conversation, or at least an observation. Maybe somebody says to you, how are you so positive right now when everything is just going so crazy in this world? Instead of saying, oh, I'm an optimist, or my mama taught me to look on the bright side, or I just have a sunny disposition, what if you said, my faith in Christ really kind of helps keep me grounded, and it's helped me deal with all the despair that's going on right now. Remember when we had all that snow this past Wednesday night? Oh, that's right, it didn't snow. We just canceled everything and bought all the bread and the milk at the store, but it didn't snow. But anyway, a couple weeks ago, it did snow, and during that snow, Gail, my wife, was coming home. She turned onto our street from Louisville Road. And immediately there were like three cars that were slid all over the place. And so she just thought, I'm getting off the road. She pulled off and left the truck there. And she started walking home. And I was able to drive from the other way. And I was able to come and meet her and pick her up. But as she was starting to walk, she stopped at the three cars just to make sure everybody was okay. And there was one woman who was not from around here. And so she exchanged phone numbers with her. And they texted back and forth. She said, do you want to come to our house and wait where it's warm before the tow truck comes? And they had all that conversation. And when they were kind of wrapping things up, the woman had gotten pulled out of the ditch. And she just texted Gail and said, thanks so much for being so kind. I really appreciate that. And Gail texted back something along the lines of, hey, we're followers of Jesus. And this is the kind of thing he likes us to do. Now, she didn't preach a big sermon. She didn't have a come-to-Jesus conversation with this woman. She just shined the spotlight a little more toward Jesus than herself. And anybody can do that. Friends, we've got the greatest news in the world. Why is it so hard to share? Yeah, I think part of it is because it's so personal. Maybe because it can be controversial, makes us nervous. But frankly, sometimes we're just too casual about our faith. We just don't see the need. You know, I know that some people are turned off to Christianity, and I know that some people have been burned by the church, and the last thing they want to hear is about your church. Or maybe some people feel judged by Christians, and they think the whole thing's just negative. They don't want to hear about Jesus. I totally get that you have to tread carefully with some people, that you don't want to push people away. You don't want to be too aggressive. The summer after I graduated from high school, I was the night janitor for a while at Sizzler Steakhouse. They made me wear that, okay? I did not choose that. That's what they made me wear, all right? So I would come in after the restaurant had closed down. The cooks and the servers would be doing their thing to kind of wrap up, and then I would come in and I would clean things up. Well, I had a pretty cool jam box at that time. I don't mean to brag, but it had a dual cassette deck. Okay, I mean, this was pretty cool. And so I would come in, and they would let me kind of play my music through the system and drown out the Muzak elevator music that had been playing all day long at the restaurant. So I kind of had the bright idea that I would play some Christian music that I liked, and they would be a captive audience, and this would be kind of my way to help share the gospel, so to speak. But I was kind of the low man on the totem pole. I was pretty new. And after a couple nights, somebody pulled me aside and said, okay, we need some different music. My Jesus jam was not working with these people. They wanted something else to listen to. Look, some people are going to love to hear what you think about the Lord and about the church and about Christ who has changed you. And there are going to be people who just don't want to hear it. Maybe when we pray for boldness, we also need to pray for tact. I heard somebody say one time that tact is the ability to make people feel at home when you wish they were. Okay, I mean, it's you know, kind of putting people at ease a little bit. Paul prayed, this is significant, he prayed for the right words and for the courage to say them. That there are right words. There's a right way to communicate. There is tact, but also there is boldness. Pray for tact. Pray for boldness. Pray that we can share the gospel. I wonder what would happen. Seriously, I wonder what would happen if we as a church started to pray like this. That we would say, God, give me an opportunity to share my faith. God, please, give me an opportunity to help influence somebody for Jesus. I'd love to run into somebody in heaven someday, and they'd say, man, you're the reason I'm here. I mean, Jesus is the reason I'm here, but like what you said changed everything for me. Can you imagine that? Could we pray, God, give me the opportunity to share my faith. Give me the right words to say and the courage to say them. That's actually my bottom line today. I figured in a sermon about prayer, saying a prayer as the bottom line made sense. So here it is. Lord, give me the right words to say and the courage to say them. Lord, give me the right words to say and the courage to say them. Tact and boldness. Lord, please help me with this because this is important. The gospel really is good news, and sharing it ought to be the most natural thing in the world. I like to read, and I stumbled across an author a couple of years ago named Amor Towles. I like his writing style. I like his character development. He's not a Christian author. These aren't Christian books. He's just a novelist. He wrote A Gentleman in Moscow, which was great, Rules of Civility, and The Lincoln Highway, which just came out. I just read it. In The Lincoln Highway, there is a character. He's in his mid-20s. His name is Wallace. He's not very sharp mentally, but he grew up rich. He never wanted for anything except maybe some affection and some attention. And as the story unfolds, one of the little subplots is that this young man, Wallace, meets a young boy named Billy, who is very smart for his age, but he's very poor. So basically, Wallace and Billy are totally opposites in how they grew up and in what they know and understand. And yet, man, they really hit it off, and they became fast friends. They just shared similar hopes and dreams. Now, I promise I won't ruin the book for you, but there's one little point in the story where Wallace opens up a cigar box to show some treasures to Billy. And he takes out of this cigar box a wristwatch. It's a watch that had been handed down to him from his grandfather. It's an officer's watch from the Great War, and it's a very fine watch. And Billy holds it, and it's probably the most expensive thing he's ever held, and he's just mesmerized by it, and he's just wide-eyed amazement. And then he reaches to hand it back, and Wallace says, oh, no, Billy, it's for you. I want you to have it. And Billy says, oh, I couldn't take it. It's too precious to be given away. And Wallace says, it's too precious for keeping. It meant so much to him, this watch, that he couldn't bear to keep it. He had to give it away to somebody who meant so much to him. Can you imagine having something that is so precious to you, you can't bear to keep it, but you have to give it away? And I heard that in the book, and I started thinking about the gospel and how precious it is. It's too precious for keeping. You have to give it away. And so don't pray for the easy way, for the smooth way. Would you have the guts to pray for influence and to pray for impact and to pray for the boldness to share your faith? What did Paul say? Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Lord, give me the right words to say and the courage to say them. You know, we're wrapping up today this 21-day challenge. And I was thinking about how to sort of tie things together. And a friend of mine posted something on Facebook this week. And it's been copied and recopied. I don't even know who the original author is. My friend did not write this. But we've taken this time to focus on prayer. And I thought this was a pretty good way to wrap things up. So I just want to kind of invite you to listen to this. If you're more comfortable closing your eyes, that's fine. Let me just share this with you, and then we will pray. It begins by saying, persistent faith is where it's at. Persistent faith is where it's at. He says, I know, You've already asked God a million times. I see your eyes rolling. But today, ask him a million and one. Yes, ask him again. Ask him again for that child to come home, for that marriage to be healed, for that mountain to move. Ask him again for that friendship to mend, that work to begin, that end of tunnel light to finally appear. Ask him again for the one who needs rescue, or the one who needs healing, the one who needs new direction, new guidance, new focus. Yes, even if that one is you, ask him again for what you need, for what you want, for joy in the sorrow, for help in the struggle, for a sip of living water in the heat of your schedule, and for the time to sit by the well. Amen? Ask him again. Ask him again to provide springs of water in your land. And while you're at it, give him thanks for the land, no matter how dry that land is right now, knowing he's given it to you for a good purpose. Yes, ask him again. Ask him again to dig up the soil and to plant new seeds. Ask him again to pour out his peace that passes all understanding, because frankly, right now you could use a hefty dose of peace. Yes, ask him again. Not because you don't think he heard you the first million times, but because you are realizing the longer you live that persistence is a pretty strong faith builder, not to mention how close it keeps you to him for whom all things are possible and nothing is too hard. Yes, absolutely, ask him again. With fresh eyes and a renewed spirit and a passionate resolve that he can and he will if it is his will. And if it's not his will, that you'll keep on asking, that you will keep on seeking, that you will keep on believing, because persistent faith is where it's at. And so today, bow low, look up, and ask him again. Let's pray. Father, it's amazing that you have invited us to ask. That you have told us that we can bring our requests before you, that we can come into your presence with our needs and our hurts and our habits and our hang-ups and our sins and our brokenness and our regret, and that you give us a fresh start. God, we want boldness. We want clear direction. We want to have impact in this world. We want heaven to be more crowded and hell to be smaller, because of how we live and how we serve and how we love. God, would you give us the right words to say and the courage to say them? Would you allow us to shine light in the darkness, to make a difference in people's lives, to hold out the message of Jesus, to not just live the right kind of life, but to say the right kinds of things that will point people to him? God, would you give us the right words to say and the courage to say them? God, would you help us to have influence in this world, not so that people would be drawn to us, but so that people would be drawn to you. Would you help our church to shine a light in this community, not so we could be the biggest church around, but God, so that people would come to Jesus. Would you give us the right words to say and the courage to say them? God, would you help us to make a difference in our families, to make a difference in our neighborhoods, to make a difference where we work and where we go to school and where we live and where we go to the restaurants, just everything, God. Would you help us? Would you give us the right words to say and the courage to say them? We want to make a difference. We want to live lives on purpose. We want to help people have better lives. We want to help people know you. And so, God, would you give us the right words to say and the courage to say them? That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.